Today we will be reading the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I shall read from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this morning we will discuss who Jesus is in reality. Because there are many, many religions and cults out there that claim that Jesus Christ is not God. That is very scary to believe such thoughts, and that is a lie of Satan. The Jehovah Witness does not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They say he is a chief angel. Beware of this cult, and it is a heresy. And I want you to pay attention on that. The verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is crystal clear that in the beginning was the Word. God hath a plan before eternity, in eternity, and before the foundations of the world, that the Word, which is Christ Jesus himself, the Son of God, he was the Word, and the Word was with God the Father, and the Word was God. Now, this refers to the Trinity. Now, the Trinity is difficult to be comprehended by human mind because God is a spirit. But we can give a simple analogy. For example, an egg. An egg contains an eggshell, an egg yolk, and an egg white, right? We cannot say that the eggshell is not an egg. We cannot say that the egg yolk is not part of the egg, and an egg white is not part of the egg, right? Those three parts are one egg. Perhaps that would be one of a good simple illustrations what the Trinity is all about. Likewise, human beings are also three in one. We have the physical being that you and I can feel and touch. That's the first part. The second part is we have our soul being, which exists in animals and human being. That is our emotional part. We can feel love, we can cry, sad, we can feel happy. Animals has that, and human being also has that second part. Now the third part does not exist in animals. The third part only exists in human being, since God created all human being in His image. The book of Genesis tells us when He blew into us His spirit, that spirit is eternal. And that spirit is part of a human being that was lost. The moment humankind fell into sin from Adam and Eve, who choose to believe in the voice of Satan, in his lies versus the voice of obedience unto the commandment of God. And we all know that story. And as a result, they have fallen from the state of absolute beautiful holiness and glorious body into the naked body of the flesh, which we all suffer today, and we have all fallen into the state of sin. For that reason, we all experience not only our sinful nature in our body, but worst of all, we experience death. For the word of God in the book of Genesis tells Adam and Eve, the moment you eat that tree, the moment you sin, and the moment you eat that fruit because of disobedience, now you will falter in sin, and the wages of sin is death. My dearly beloved, whether you like it or not, we all have to die someday. But what is scary is not the physical death, because physical body is like old clothing when we believe in Jesus. When we truly believe in our Savior, who will ultimately reconcile us once again with God the Father and remove sins from us through His death on the cross, we will receive eternal life. And that eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. And we will read in the following verses later on. So what is scary is once we suffer the physical death, comes the eternal death. And that death is not 100 or 200 years only. It is not just 1 million, 2 million, 3 million years, but it is forever. Can you imagine? Forever in the lake of fire, without Jesus, without God, in hell and lake on fire, under torment with the ugly devils, the destroyer. I cannot imagine myself in that conditions. I do not care. Whatever it takes me to be with Jesus, I will pay for it. How about you? Would you rather use enjoy all the rest of sinful nature in the 100 years and then be thrown in the lake of fire? My dear friend, I want you to reconsider your eternal destinations. Now this verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. My dearly beloved, it is crystal clear right here that Jesus Christ is God. because all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That include the whole universe creations. That include everything you and I are created by Jesus Christ himself. Now the Trinity is also written in the book of John. And it says these three are one. First epistle of John 5 verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." My dear friend, listen very carefully. These three are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one God. This is called the Trinity. It is recorded in First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7. Whoever that tells you that Jesus Christ is not God is an absolute lie of Satan. For the Word of God is written crystal clear. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one God. This is where we get Trinity from. My dear friend, Jesus is the Lord God himself. The only difference is he was doing the functions just like an egg has an egg yolk and an egg white. God the Son comes down to perform the salvations for all mankind, to die on the cross in order to take away our sins. Without Jesus, we will never be reconciled to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit was sent for one important mission and purpose when Jesus rose from the dead and gone to be at the right hand of God the Father. He was sent to teach us, to indwell us, and to transform us into his image, and ultimately to transport us into eternity with God the Father, God the Son himself. They're just different functions. Jesus Christ is now our high priest. He prays for us every day, recorded in the scripture, for his sheep. That was his functions. And the Holy Spirit right now was sent into the earth to indwell the saints, the sheep of the Lord, to accompany us. The Holy Spirit himself is also God, the third person of the Trinity. For that reason, we must respect the Holy Spirit as well, because he is also God, the Spirit of God. Now verse 4 says, "In him was life, and life was the light of men." And verse 5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 4 says, "In him was life." John tells us that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. First Epistle of John 5, verse 12. And verse 11 also says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's real simple. If you do not believe in Jesus, you are not going to get that eternal life. And you are not going to get that spiritual life. And that spiritual life is the light of men. If you do not get that life, you are in total darkness. And that life was given to us the very moment we believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit come down to endorse the transaction of a sin debt being canceled upon the cross. When we choose to believe in Jesus and confess him as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is sealed into our heart. The moment we confess unto him, he comes in into our heart. For the verse 12 says, "As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You see, if we receive him and choose to believe in him, The word of God, which is absolute truth, says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is what I'm talking about. The moment we choose to believe in his death on the Calvary as a full payment of our sin debt, the moment we confess each and every one of our sins before God, crying for mercy, trusting in the blood of Jesus to wash away every one of our sins, dearly beloved. He gave us the power to become the sons of God. How amazing. In him was life, and life was the light of men. My dearly beloved, when we choose to believe in Jesus by faith and acknowledge our sins before him from the bottom of our hearts, honestly, we become born again of the Spirit of God. And when we become born again of the Spirit of God, the verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. My dearly beloved, are you born again? Do you believe in Jesus? If you have not been born again of the Spirit of God, and if you have not believed in Jesus, may I petition before you to choose to believe in Jesus, because it is dangerous not to believe the Savior who died to pay your sin debt in full. Nothing can wash away your sins but the blood of Jesus. That is absolutely holy. And he came for that purpose, to lay his life upon the cross in order to save us from eternal damnations, my dearly beloved. You do not want to go to the lake of fire, do you? I petition that you would humble yourself, and not out of foolishness or pride, you would say, I don't care. Yes, perhaps you may say that right now, but by the time you will go in the lake of fire, my dear friend, it is too late to even cry when there is no hope in darkness, in pain, in torment. God can no longer reach out to you. For that reason, I come here to share with you the petition before you, please turn to Jesus, my friend. No matter how much you earn, no matter what position you are in a company, could be a CEO, could be the prime minister, those things will soon be over. How long can we live on earth? Maybe 100 years, I doubt it. Perhaps if you're fortunate enough to live 100 years, but most of us rarely reach out even 100 years. Let's assume you can pass through 100 years. Let's assume you can live to 200 years, which is not likely. And after that, all of that 200 years is over. You will face the lake of fire under burning absolute torment and hell. Is that where you want to be? My dear friend, Jesus said, what if a man owns the whole world and loses his own soul? What is your soul worth? What kind of price are you going to pay for? It is not wise, no matter how much money you earn and how much enjoyment you have, to worship the devil just for the temporal, and then after that, be thrown into the lake of fire. Now you may say, well, perhaps that is not really true. I don't know whether it is real. I will share with you the story later on. The real story of a missionary, New Zealander missionary, Ian McCormick, how he went to hell and went up to see Jesus in heaven and back in his body on earth. There are many, many records and proof that hell exists, just exactly like the scripture writes. Satan, the father of doubt, the father of unbelief, is indwelt in your heart if you choose to believe the voice of Satan. He is going to be condemned and going to be sent into the lake of fire. Well, we are not supposed to be there. But please, choose to believe in Jesus is my prayer for you. It is your choice that God loves you. For the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. My dearly beloved, we are all in darkness. Ever since Adam and Eve have fallen, we have disconnected ourselves with Almighty God, our dearly Heavenly Father. And we no longer know who is God. Is there God? There are so many confused religions out there. But there is one thing we know. We have a conscience that there is God somewhere out there. The imprint of our conscience, even a little child as it grows, you know there is God somewhere. For that reason, we have so many religious institutions and many, many kinds of religions and belief of all kinds, worshipping from a cow to worshipping of idols of many kinds and churches of many kinds, simply because deep in our heart, we know there is a God somewhere. Have you seen an animal building a church? Have you seen an animal building a temple? Have you seen animal worshipping God? No. Simply because we have the conscience given to us by God, and of course, we were disconnected. And up to now, we are still disconnected. Until unless we come and turn to Jesus, we will never comprehend the spiritual aspect of man that was given by Almighty God. You see, the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. God is light, and God is absolute righteousness and absolute holiness. We were originally in the same form like God, absolute light and holiness and righteousness, without sin, when God created us. However, the devil, the former angels, who fell first out of his pride to be equal with God, I'm sure you've heard of that story, was thrown out from heaven. The book of Revelations talk about the warfare between Michael the archangel and the devil. And when he was thrown down onto the earth, he's got nothing better to do than giving troubles and being enmity with God. He decided to pull God's creations, Adam and Eve, into darkness. By lying, Satan is a father of lies, my dearly beloved. There are many, many proofs of demons and Satans out there. I am a missionary to Indonesia, and God has unveiled unto me many, many kinds of demons out there. One day in a church, a pastor has invited me to cast out the power of darkness from a boy, a young man, approximately 20 years old, who is filled with demon. This experience is an eye-opener, for God has opened my eyes. When we first cast out the demon, it wasn't easy. When I asked him to confess his sins, he was not genuine. He was trying to cover himself, but before long it is discovered. As we prayed together, confessing his sins from his mouth instead of from his heart. However, at the end of that prayer, when I say in the name of Jesus, the young man began to throw up, throw out badly into the trash can all of his food. And I realized that the devil didn't totally leave his body. In actual fact, the devil didn't even leave the body, because he was confessing from his lips, not from his heart. Many, many people think you can con God or deceive God. However, this young man, I have told him, please confess one more time from your heart. Believe it or not, this is a true story. As he began to confess one sin, he threw up one demon from his mouth again into the trash can, his food. And then the next sin comes up on the surface of his lips and from his heart. As he confessed that one more sin, he threw up again into the trash can. And he confessed the next one, he threw up again. The young man was under a lot of cold sweat as he threw up every single sin, one demon. My dearly beloved, the name of Jesus carries so much power. And sins carry the power of darkness. Every single one sins. It doesn't matter whether it is fornications, whether it is pride, whether it is hatred, anger, doubt, unbelief. Would you believe me if I tell you I saw with my own eyes as I accompany him to confess his sins? Every one sin carry one demon. And this young man has been throwing up for about an hour and a half, and I have to leave for another church to preach. Still, he is not done with confessing his sins. And the demon refused to come out. And at one time, as the demon was stuck in his throat, the other pastor, who prayed together with me to try to cast out the demon from his body, threatened the demon to the lake of fire. And finally, from his throat, he came through his mouth onto the trash can again. And the young man has much sweat on his face. This is the real story that I'm sharing with you. It is not a theory. The demon exists in the form of living in our sins. For that reason, the Word of God says, "And the light shineth into darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." The Word of God tells us that the devil is the father of darkness, the father of sin, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, the Apostle John says in the book of John. It is indeed true. The whole world is full of darkness, simply because the whole humanity have fallen into the state of sin. If you don't believe me, open the newspaper, open the internet, you will see right there all kind of sins men have committed every single day. It is not surprising when you read about rape, murder, robbery, theft. The jails are full of people committing sins and criminals. Isn't that a very sad state of humanity? But the Word of God says, "Light shineth into darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." Do you know why? Because darkness and light are two separate scenarios. God is light, and God cannot withstand sins. And Satan is of darkness, and Satan is under torment under the light, under holiness of Jesus. He had pain in his head, torment. You see, I will give you an example. A fish can only live in water, and human being lives in the air. If you pull a fish out from water into the air, the fish is under torment, because the fish can only survive in water. Likewise, human being cannot be put into water. They will die because human being lives in the air. This is what I'm talking about. Two different conditions, two different environment, two different characteristics, and of course, two different things. And God is light, and God cannot indwell in darkness. The Holy Spirit cannot indwell in the heart that is filled with sins, because darkness and light are two separate things. Just the fish cannot survive in the air, and human beings cannot survive in water. Now the Word of God in John 3. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be safe. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My dearly beloved, God sent his only Son to save us. We have two choices, a yes or a no. If you say yes, God give you free gift of eternal life through his Son. Jesus paid it all. And you don't have to do anything more other than by faith accepting it, because you cannot improve salvation. Salvation is absolutely by grace and grace alone, the Apostle Paul says. It is by grace through faith, just simple faith like a little child. You see? And if you do not choose to believe, you throw away the cup of the grace of God, which is meant to save you and bring you into eternity, then it is your problem. It's not that God didn't love you. He loves you so much to send his only Son and die to take away your sins. All you have to do is accept him by faith and believe that he died on the cross to save you. That's all. But if you choose out of a pride like the devil to reject and refuse the Son of God, then the word of God is applied to you. It says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, God does not come to condemn us, just like Jesus says in here, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather the world through him might be saved. Now, if you choose not to want the cup and the salvation that God has given to every single one of us, of course you are under condemnations. That is not because he didn't love you. Everyone is given a free cup. If you drink that cup, it gives you eternal life. And if you throw away that cup, that's your choice. That is not because God the Father is not loving you. He gives everyone fairly the same cup of salvations by grace. You don't have to do anything. It's free. But you must choose to believe. If you drink that cup, it will bring you eternal life. The Holy Spirit will be sent into your life when you choose to humble yourself and not disbelieve. Do you know that if you do not believe in Jesus, you have already chosen to believe the devil? What is there to believe the devil good about? The devil is a destroyer. He's a liar. Do you know that? Believing in Jesus and believing in the devil is like a head and a tail of a coin. There's only two power, God or the devil, light or darkness. Which one do you choose? Do you know that if you choose to disbelieve Jesus, you have chosen to believe the devil? Is the head or the tail? I pray you understand. I pray you choose to believe in Jesus, not the devil, the liar. It is not worth trusting in the voice of the devil. My dearly beloved, my friend. And verse 19 in John says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. My friend, the whole world loved darkness. That is our nature. We love darkness. We love to sin. You see, Jesus tells us we love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It's like fish living in water. That's their nature. Our nature is only sinful. It is not possible for us not to sin. Perhaps you say, well, I've done some good stuff. Yes, can you do all the good stuff without sinning all your life through? It is impossible, because that's the way we are. We are in the state of a fallen state of sin. It is not possible for us to be holy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year and forever. There is no way. Plus, we have to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. As long as you can die, you are under the state of sin and, of course, judgment. However, the word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God loved us so much to send Jesus Christ, who is absolutely holy, to die on the cross in order to save you. I pray that you would turn around and get up from darkness into light. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John chapter 1 verse 5. You see, we are severed from the Lord God in terms of our comprehension. We have lost our spiritual aspect, spiritual being, when God created us because of sin. However, when we choose to believe in Jesus, the good news is he will restore that aspect into our life. As we choose to believe in Jesus, we become born again of the Spirit of God. And the verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. My dearly beloved, have you experienced that? That is the most beautiful experience of knowing Jesus and experiencing the Holy Spirit in your heart. You could be in churches for years and many, many years and not be born again. You could be a pastor preaching and not be born again. You could be studying in a theological seminary and not be born again. You see, the gift of eternal life is unto those who genuinely would cry in humility, not out of pride. You can say, well, I have read the Bible, you know. That is correct. But until unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, until unless the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you are just as blind as a bat. You're still living in darkness. You see, the Word of God is amazing. The whole Bible is alive. You know how it is alive? The moment the Holy Spirit comes through into your heart, as you confess your sins and repent and cry to God for mercy, when the Holy Spirit comes through, when you are born again of the Spirit of God, my dear friend, you will know when that happened, because your heart will now be filled with absolute joy and peace that no money can buy. If you have yet to experience that, you must experience it. All the moment you were born again, your life is totally transformed. The sins that you used to commit right now, you no longer would like to commit. And when you commit it, the Holy Spirit will remind you and your heart will be troubled. It is not the same any longer. The Bible says, the word of the Apostle Paul tells us, when we are born again of the Spirit of God, God washed away all of our sins and all things are passed away and we become a new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We become holy not because we are holy, because the blood of Jesus is holy that washes us like taking a shower. And then the Holy Spirit will come through and indwell in our hearts. And of course, the devil would leave your body. Now, I want to share with you a real story, a testimony that I have visited in the missionary trip recently. I have a nephew whom I have never seen for 30 years. And this nephew led a life of darkness. And he was involved in drugs and his lifestyle was a mess. However, the last time I met with him on my missionary trip, even though he was in a church, even though others claim that he was born again, but the very fact that he could not pray is a sign that he was not born again. You see, a born-again child of a living God is able to talk. Just like a baby before long makes noise and talk. A doll has no noises. A robot has no noises because they have no life. You see, in him was life, and life was the light of men. So I told my nephew to ask him to pray with me. And all I asked, if he genuinely from his heart would confess his sins together with me. And all I asked was genuineness from his heart, my dearly beloved. Because God sees through the heart of men, not the lips. You can confess with your lips, it is not going to do you any good. Because God sees through every single thing on earth and heaven, wherever we are. He sees through right into the heart of men. So I asked him to offer his heart genuinely, and he agreed. As we confess, as I help him to confess his sins, and as we confess together in through our prayers, believe it or not, a miracle happened. He was a very strongly built young man, good looking, and big size. At the end of that prayer, when I say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, he began to squeal like a little child, little pigs out of fear. And I turned around and I saw his face. I said, what is wrong with you, my nephew? And he said, auntie. That's how he calls me, auntie. I am full of fear. I said, what is wrong with you? Oh, I'm so full of fear. I said, why? Then he explained, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, hallelujah, three demons, size of 12 inches black color, crawl out from his body. One from the left hand, one from the right hand, and one down from the belly, down to the ground and out of the door. From his heart left three ugly 12 inches black color, look like burnt black demon. Isn't that the truth of the word of God? God is light, is not darkness. What sin does to the devil is to turn from the beautiful angel into Satan, ugly, black, and dark. This is the real story. He was born again of the Spirit of God, and I knew the moment the blood of Jesus washed him clean, the devil cannot withstand holiness. My dearly beloved, my friend, listen to this story. This is a real story I'm sharing with you. Satan is under torment when it comes to the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is holy. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross makes us holy. And my nephew, when he confessed every one of that sin by the blood of Jesus, the holiness come through and wash everything. And the Holy Spirit come through because God is holy. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is holy. As the Holy Spirit endorsed these transactions, as he confessed his heart out of his sins genuinely and believe in Jesus, the demon cannot withstand and is under torment. For that reason, they could not even walk out. They had to crawl out. That's what my nephew said. They crawl out like a spider from his body out of the door. How amazing that the word of God is so precious. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Until unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, where the Holy Spirit will come in your heart, your eyes is shut. You see, we have two pairs of eyes. We have the physical eyesight, which you and I have it the moment we are born physically as a baby. And we have two pairs of ears, the physical ear and mouth, of course. The moment you are born again, God will give you spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, and spiritual mouth. For that reason, my nephew was given the spiritual eyes to see the power of darkness in the spiritual world when he chose to believe in Jesus and was born again, and now is born again, of course. That's why he could see the dark, ugly devil after that prayer. That proves that the word of God is very much alive and absolutely true. You see, once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have a pair of new spiritual eyes, like you have your physical eyes. Then, with that eyes that you were given by the Lord God, you can begin to read the Bible. The Bible is the holy word of God. It is not a regular book. However, the key to the Bible is the Holy Spirit And of course, you have to be born again of the Spirit of God. Until unless you receive the Holy Spirit in your heart, you are just blind as a bat and in darkness. For that reason, it says, and the darkness comprehended it not. You could be reading the Word of God and not see anything until unless you're born again. And there is no need for you to see because it is like a doll. A doll does not need to eat because a doll is dead. But a baby will automatically look for milk and hungry. And if they're not given milk, they cry. You know that if you have a baby. I've seen one. You see, the whole humanity, when they do not believe in Jesus, they are not interested. They would never comprehend and they are not able to pray. If they pray on the lip service, I can guarantee you that's not the prayer of the Spirit. It's probably maybe out of their own flesh, are trying to please somebody. I can guarantee you it is not the prayer of the Spirit. It is a prayer many times of pretentiousness. A short prayer. And the Word of God and the Holy Spirit must work hand in hand, like two wheels written in Ezekiel chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 1, it is written, if you read very carefully, that the wheel working together with another wheel is the Word of God, which is the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will work only with the Word of God. There are many people out there who said and claim, oh, that I'm filled by the Holy Spirit, but they operate opposite of the Word of God, then that is not the Holy Spirit. That is a spirit of lie. For that reason, we must read the Word of God very carefully. Do not believe in people who claim the Holy Spirit here and there and not act out according to the Word of God. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit must match each other. Just like the wheel that is running together with another wheel. They are totally dependent on each other. Because the Word of God is Jesus himself. The Word of God has the power to sanctify you. The book of John writes, and the Word of God itself is a life. And the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to speak to you. And the devil is very much afraid of the Word of God. If you are under a lot of stress and depressions and you choose to believe in Jesus, I can guarantee you when you read the Word of God and cry before God, you will before long experience peace. Because the Word of God is real. It is power. It is supernatural power. It is not just a letter. I had one time a very unique experience that the Holy Spirit has unveiled unto me the power of the risen Savior in the Word of God. One day my husband came back and brought demon with him. And he was in a state of absolute frustration and began to fight with me as a husband and wife. My dear friend, I want you to pay a close attention to my story. And I had a lot of stress in my head. My head was so painful and full of stress. I knew that the devil had come into my home. And so I decided I wanted to flee and run out from my house to go to San Francisco to just get away from the devil, to get away from the stress. But little did I know that the power of the Word of God, it is so powerful. As I began to preach to my husband the Word of God, all of a sudden, all my headache, my stress are gone. I was so shocked to discover that my stress and my headache from my own body is totally gone. All of a sudden, I felt peace in my heart, super peace. My dear friend, this is a real experience that I'm sharing with you. Then I discover that the Word of God is Jesus himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From that moment onwards, I began to study the Word of God with all my heart and mind to discover the power of the risen Savior lies in the Word of God, which is Jesus himself. Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth, absolute truth. Do not stay away from outside of the Word of God. Everything else that is contra to the word of God is lies of Satan, my dear friend. There is only the head and the tail of a coin. There's only truth or lies. There's only two masters, Jesus or the false so-called master, the devil. Who do you serve today? I pray you choose to serve Jesus. And the word of God is so powerful that it can remove all power of stress, depressions, confusions, and any instabilities. Because you know why? Those are the things of darkness. They belong to Satan. I want you to put close attention to my word. The darkness comprehended it not, and the darkness is in torment. Satan is a father of torment. If you are under fear, that means you are in the darkness. And you know how to get rid of that fear and darkness of Satan? Is in the name of Jesus, by the precious blood of Jesus. Confess every single sin of yours. And before long, it's gone, and read the word of God. You will experience what I'm talking about. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John was John the Baptist. It was the prophet who laid the way for Jesus. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This was referring to John the Baptist, crying for others to repent so that Christ can fill them with the Holy Spirit when he comes. Verse 9 says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Isn't this such an irony that Jesus Christ, who creates the whole world, who came from the highest to the lowest, born in a manger, born of the Virgin Mary, God himself, coming to be human being, and yet how many people that he has created never accepted him, never believed in him, just like it says right here. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. If you look your head, turn left and right in your office, in your school, everywhere you go, it is sad. Sad to see what Satan has done is to deceive the world. And the world knew him not. However, dearly beloved, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But what is precious, my dearly beloved, is 12. It says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can you believe? By simple faith of a little child, just by simple faith from your heart, crying to God, I can guarantee you, you will experience what he was talking about. He gave us the power to become the sons of God. Now we are reconciled to God the Father. Now we are together with him again. The moment we confess our sins and acknowledge Jesus' death on the cross as a payment of our sin debt in full, we are safe. And you will know that because the Holy Spirit will come through into our body. I shall give you a simple illustration for those who have yet to hear the simple illustration, that salvation is like borrowing $1 million from the bank. As you borrow that money, and of course you became bankrupt and unable to pay, God the Father, your dad, says to you, son or daughter, let me go to the bank and pay that debt for you, because I loved you, your dad says. And of course, you have a choice to say to your dad, yes, dad, thank you for loving me, and thank you for paying for me, and I believe in you. And so your dad goes to the bank and paid for it. And what happened? Your debt is paid for by your father, and your debt is canceled. It is very simple. All it takes for you to say, yes, Dad, I believe you, and I believe you will pay my debt. Of course, your dad, who loves you and rich in everything, he's God the Creator. He's our dad. He goes out there to pay for it and your debt is canceled. And as an endorsement of the bank's transaction, the bank sent a stamp and stamped it. And that stamp and seal is called the Holy Spirit that is sent into our hearts to indwell us, to open our eyes. Now we have a new pair of spiritual eyes and we are born again like a little baby and we're able to be hungry. And you know what is our food, our meal? It is the Word of God. My dearly beloved, being born again of the Spirit of God, receiving the Holy Spirit, is like having received a key to the car. You can study the car all day long, the color of the car, the manufacturers of the car, the outside car. But until unless you get the key to the car, you can't drive the car, isn't it? And what is the use of having the car and not having the key? And that's what religion is all about. You see, Jesus Christ is not a religion, but rather a relationship with the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you have been to churches for years and studied the Bible for years and yet never experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, my dear friend, you are just practicing religion. And religion is having a car with no key. What is the use of it? It cannot transport you from point A to point B. Am I right? It is no point of buying a car when it cannot have the key to it and cannot transport me to anywhere. What's the purpose of buying the car? But that's exactly how many Christians, so-called Christians, even preachers who preach social gospel, they have the car but not the key. Isn't that sad? Now, my friend, I want to give you that key. If you choose to humble yourself before the Lord God and cry before Him with all of your heart, confess every single individual sins that you have, God the Father will give you that key in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's like having a phone with a cable. It is no use to get a phone with no cable, especially a landline. And of course, the company that connects the phone. You see, the Holy Spirit is that company, that cable. If you buy an equipment with no cable, you can say, hello, hello. That's not going to work. There's no dial tone. You know that. Likewise, that cable, the middle company, phone company, is the Holy Spirit. I'd like to invite you to receive it. Very simple. Be like a little child, Jesus said. That's all it takes. And humble yourself. If you have pride, confess the pride. If you have fornications, confess before God. Don't hide it. You can hide to others, but not God. If you have hatred, confess that sins. There are many, many sins that we all committed, the same sins. There is nothing new under the sky. Every single sins reflect darkness. And if we have darkness, we will not comprehend the light. And of course, we are dead spiritually, just like Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You see, all around us that you see look like alive, but in the sight of God, until they are born again of the Spirit of God, they are dead spiritually. That's why some people call them walking dead. They walk looking like alive, but spiritually disconnected and dead. They will never comprehend the scripture. There is no need for a doll to eat, right? It takes a baby born again, real baby, to have a desire to eat. And so, once again, my dearly beloved, verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And what is precious, once again, it says, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My dearly beloved, the Word was made flesh. That's Christ Jesus coming to be human being and dwell among us. John is the witness to this. And John says, the Apostle John says, we beheld His glory. We touched Him, been with Him. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Apostle John witnessed what Jesus has done, how He even has done many miracles and rose from the dead. He has witnessed so much miracles, and he himself finally received the Holy Spirit and understood what was going on when Jesus finally loved them. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And John the Baptist is another witness of Christ. And verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." My dearly beloved, God loves us so much. He bears on his own shoulder all the cost of sin by dying on the cross on our behalf. He came to give us grace. Law was given by Moses. Law was wonderful and is still wonderful. The question is, we are not able to act them out. The Apostle Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. The law is absolutely perfect. But the problem with the law is, it is a light and we don't have the strength to carry it out. On our own flesh, it is impossible, even just the Ten Commandments, let alone any other laws. The laws are spiritual, but we are carnal, soul under sense, the Apostle Paul says, which is true. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7, there is nothing good in the flesh. It is no point giving out the law if you cannot carry out, correct? That's what religion is all about. They're trying to carry out, trying to carry out. They know religions are good stuff, right? The problem is, can you carry out what was written in that law? No, you can't. For that reason, God himself has to send the Holy Spirit, apart from dying on that cross to take away all of our sins. He sent the Holy Spirit to be able to live it out, the law of God, into reality through our body. My dearly beloved, religion cannot save you, but Jesus Christ can save you. You see the big difference? Apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are performing religion. You could be in churches A, B, Z, whatever you are not having relationship with Jesus Christ. It takes the Holy Spirit, born again of the Spirit of God, and that Holy Spirit is the one that is going to perform everything else on our behalf, as long as we obey him and abide in Christ. As we abide in him, first of all, we have got to be born again of the Spirit of God. Then that Holy Spirit will bring you, will teach you, will bring you into eternity. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll grow you. It is all the work of the Holy Spirit. And he will guide you as a teacher. He will remind you what is coming up ahead of you, even through visions, and every one of those visions will come true. And he'll protect you, and the word of God will move in your heart, because that is all the work of the Holy Spirit. It's like having the key to the car. All you have to do is put it on, and there's a GPS that says, do this, do that, and drive. My dearly beloved, that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, my suggestion for you is to first repent and be born again of the Spirit of God by crying out to the Lord God all of your sins and washed away by his blood, trusting in him. And the moment the Holy Spirit is sent into your heart, you will feel peace. All that burden weight is gone. You will feel peace and joy. I had that experience years ago. 35 years ago, when I was born again of the Spirit of God, the heavy weight was gone on my shoulder as I cried before him and confessed my sins. And all of a sudden, that weight was fallen down from my shoulders, and peace and joy fills my heart. I began to read the scripture like I have never done before. I pray that you experience that, being born again of the Spirit of God. And I'm sure you will, if you cry before him. And you will experience what I'm talking about. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. My dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul was a man who was born again. You know the story of the Apostle Paul? Have you read the scripture? He was Saul of Tarsus. He was a very religious man, studied in the best seminaries, but he was not born again of the Spirit of God. He knows all the law. So what happened? He began to persecute the Christians, thinking this is a weird religion. Little did he know that there is the truth. That is the Savior and the Lord of grace. And so what happened when he was on the way to Damascus, trying to capture the Christians and kill them, put them to jail? The light from the sky shone onto him and he became blind. He cannot see anything, but he could hear just the voice of the Lord. And of course the Lord spoke to him and he says, "Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me?" And of course Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And of course Jesus said, "I am the Lord Jesus whom you persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick, you know. Can you try to hurt a prick, kick against a prick? Kicking against God is impossible." And so here comes Saul of Tarsus, who met the Lord Jesus. And ever since then, Jesus says he's going to use Saul, and his name became Paul. That's how we got the Apostle Paul. And once he repented of his sins 3 days and nights before the Lord God, so Ananias was sent his way, the disciples of Christ. And even Ananias told the Lord, "This man is an evil guy, done a lot of bad thing." However, the Lord says, "That's all right. I have chosen him to bear for my name, to suffer for my name's sake, and bring the gospel." For that reason, the gospel was given to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul, because Apostle Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. You see, Saul of Tarsus was a man of darkness who could not comprehend the truth. He was born again after 3 days of confessions of his sins, and ever since then, his mind, his darkness was gone, and light gets in his heart. And he became the disciples of Jesus Christ. And his life was totally transformed and changed. He was born again of the Spirit of God. And not only born again of the Spirit of God, Ananias came to send and lay hand on him and be filled of the Spirit of God. So he was a man that is filled by the Holy Spirit ever since then. And his life was transformed 180 degrees altogether. Opposite. When he used to persecute the Christian, now he preached Jesus Christ. And everyone was shocked, obviously. But Paul was a repentant man. His mindset was totally opposite what was before. Now he began to love Jesus and even die for Jesus. For that reason, he wrote more than 50% of the New Testament. He became the apostle of the Gentiles. For that reason, he carried that gospel to Europe, and from Europe, churches are set up because of the efforts of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, Romans, Thessalonians, Galatians, and so on. He set up many churches. Just one Apostle Paul alone is a man that is born again and who comprehend now the will of God, and who wrote beautiful epistles for us to read and follow after. And so finally, we know the story of the Apostle Paul. He died for Jesus joyfully. What a remarkable difference, isn't it? Well, that's what I'm talking about. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, and when you begin the journey, your mindset is now in the light. You will comprehend, because the Holy Spirit that was in the Apostle Paul is the same Holy Spirit that is given to us today. Would you like to receive that Holy Spirit? Finally, my dearly beloved, I would like to end this particular chapter with a real story that I promised to share with you earlier. The story of a New Zealander missionary. His name is Ian McCormack. This is a very powerful story, and it's a real story. And you can check with internet yourself, Ian McCormack. The story begins that Ian McCormack was in total darkness. He was a man of absolute sin and committed all kind of sins you can think of. And he said that through his mouth. But the difference is this. He has a mother that is a godly mother who prays for his son for 20 long years. And his mom believes that every single prayer that she makes will be answered. And so it takes 20 long years of prayer sometimes, my dearly beloved, for a prayer to be answered. So one day it so happened that Ian McCormack, who loved the world and enjoyed himself, of course, running around left and right all over parts of the world, he went to Mauritius, beautiful island close to Africa, around Africa. And as he dived down into the ocean to get crabs and lobsters, to enjoy and barbecue and enjoy a nice big feast, it so happened he did not know there was a box jellyfish as he was diving underneath ocean. As he touched that box jellyfish, he was intoxicated immediately. Box jellyfish is the most toxic creature that kills 70 Australian men as a matter of 10 minutes. Immediately, half his body went dead. As the toxin crept through his body, he tried to come up to the surface for help, to run to the hospital for help. As he took a taxi, trying to go to the hospital, the taxi man finally pushed him out of the door, discovering that he has no money. No money means no talk and no arriving to the hospital. So finally, he tried to grope with his life and hear the voice of the Lord speaking to him to fight through. It was the voice of Jesus. As he went to the hotel, he saw a group of Chinese men playing mahjong, or gambling rather. And he asked the man to please send him to the hospital. But the man were laughing at him, thinking that he was drunk or took some drugs because he looked all reddish. He was so angry he wanted to beat up the Chinese fella. However, the voice of the Lord Jesus came back to his ear that says, "Son, if you do that, the toxic will arrive and reach to your heart. It'll kill you." So he turned away his face. Even though he was angry, he dare not kill himself because the toxin will soon kill him. However, finally he got to the ambulance to the hospital. What is amazing is God began to speak to him on the trip to the hospital in the ambulance. He saw in the ambulance the visions of himself being a little child. And he heard a voice that says, "Son, do you believe in God?" And he said in his heart, "Which God?" Then he saw himself being in Sunday school. "Oh, Jesus." He said, "That must be Jesus." And said, "Yes." As he responded yes to the Lord Jesus through that visions, he saw another visions. That was the visions that was for the taxi man who threw him out of the door earlier because he didn't have any money. As he saw that vision, he heard a voice. "Son, do you forgive this man?" And Ian McCormack responded, "Yes." And then another vision came forward and saw the Chinese men that laugh at him and refuses to bring him to the hospital. And heard the voice of the Lord says, "Son, do you also forgive this one?" And he said, "Yes." Ian McCormack was very well aware that he was dying. His body was shutting down because all of these visions coming to him was in the ambulance towards the hospital. As he arrived in the hospital, the doctors told him, "Do not close your eyes." If you close your eyes, you will die instantly. However, Ian McCormick was so exhausted. He thought to himself, let me just close my eyes for 1 minute. Little did he know, when he closed his eyes, he's gone into another world. He found himself in the room of darkness. Just like John 1 says, in darkness. He didn't know where he was. He thought he was in the hospital. My dear friend, you still have a memory even though you're in hell. That's where he was. So he began to walk in that room looking for a switch, thinking that he was in the hospital. As he walked and walked and walked, he realized he was not in the hospital. Then he said, where am I? Let me touch my hand, he said. And he put his hand across, and there was no form of hands whatsoever. And he said, let me touch my face. And he discovered there was no forms of face whatsoever. Where am I? He said. All of a sudden, he saw many, many eyes watching, staring back at him. And he heard a very loud, crude, rude voice from the devil. And the devil said, shut up, you deserve to be here. My dear friend, that kind of remark is commonly heard in the world, isn't it? Shut up, you deserve to be here. The rude words that comes from the devil. He is the father of all rudeness and crudeness, incidentally, and of course, ferociousness. Anyhow, Ian McCormick heard that remark from the devil, and he said, but I believe in Jesus. All of a sudden, his body was being taken into heaven. And it is in heaven that he experiences bright light. There was no darkness, right the opposite, all light. It was bright light, and he's experiencing the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, the wind blowing at him with the quality and the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He's experiencing the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, long sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. At that point of time, he felt ashamed because he remembered all the deeds, the evil deeds, and the sins he committed on earth. He remembered them and he felt ashamed. However, he saw from a distant away a bright light. And the voice comes to him, the very same voice that was on earth that he heard previously. And God the Father says, Ian McCormick, come here. You see, God loves us and knows his sheep by the name, the book of John tells us. He knows and called Ian, not just Ian, but Ian McCormick. Isn't that interesting that God knows every single one of us? He even knows all his sparrows, you know, all the animals and the birds he created, let alone us, his children. So don't feel that God doesn't know you. God knows you. I guarantee that. That's how he calls Ian McCormick. Ian McCormick, come here. So Ian began to move towards that bright light and that voice. And he said, this must be God the Father. As he came forward to see God and the Lord Jesus himself, super shiny on the face of the Lord, super shiny, you can't really see that face. He said that face looks like the sun in 10,000 times. Can you imagine that? Of course, his body was full of shine. And that's how our Lord in the original spiritual form looked like. And he saw the New Jerusalem. Beautiful. That's where our God will bring us someday. Mansions, just like Jesus said in the Word of God. Beautiful mansion. And the green grass has got no dirt or soil, green and beautiful. And Ian would like to step in there, but God the Father said, no, 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 not yet. Look, here, he saw the vision of the mother praying for him. My dearly beloved, every single prayers of the saints are remembered by the Lord God in heaven. And God the Father says, no, you cannot go into the New Jerusalem, not yet, because your mother would be sad. She has been praying for you for 20 years, you see. Every single actions that we do are remembered by God the Father and, of course, our Lord Jesus. Now God says, what I want you to do is I want you to go back into the earth and read and study the scripture and witness for me. My dearly beloved, the word of God comes from heaven. It is not from the earth. The word of God is infallible. Don't let Satan lie to you. There is no mistake in the word of God. I'm not talking about the typing. I'm talking about the essence, the message of the word of God is infallible. And it is a life. The Holy Spirit can speak to you of the things of the future through the word of God, which is what I've experienced in my past. Many, many testimonies, and I shall share with you one at a time in every single messages whenever the Holy Spirit leads me to do that. And so God the Father have instructed Ian McCormick to read the Bible and study the Bible very, very well and share and witness for Jesus. And Ian McCormick said to the Father, Lord, I don't want to be crippled. You see, the box jellyfish can cripple the body badly. I don't want to be crippled if you tell me to do that. All of a sudden, he was back in his body, covered with a piece of white cloth, declared dead for 20 minutes, at least 15 to 20 minutes. And the doctor was shocked, who certified death certificate on this man, on Ian himself, flee out the room when Ian came back to life. Of course, a dead person can never come back to life like Ian, the doctor was thinking, right? My dearly beloved, my friend, this story is real. And Ian became a totally transformed man, just like Saul to Paul. He wept every time he shared the story and wherever he preaches as a missionary. I pray today when you hear this story, you choose to believe in Jesus while there is time. Because if there is no more time into eternity with hell and lake of fire, that is not funny, my dearly beloved. Hell and eternity. Without Jesus, there is no way you can even do anything by that time. It is too late. May I petition before you to believe in Jesus? May I petition before you to humble yourself and cry to God for all the sins just like Ian McCormick? He that transformed Saul to Paul and Ian McCormick, he can transform you. If you have had sins, don't worry. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will transform you. I have been transformed. Paul has been transformed. So is Ian McCormick. And the word of God is so powerful. It can transform our mind and remove the lies of Satan by just studying the scripture, petitioning for the Holy Spirit to come through into our heart as being born again children of God. My dearly beloved, it is now time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you. As you turn your eyes upon Jesus, as you choose to repent of your sins and believe that God is able to work all things for the good to them that love God, so that we will be predestined to ultimately look like Jesus, to conform to the image of his Son. If you have fear in your heart, I can guarantee you all of that fear, worries, all of that lies that you have in your head, All of the drug addicts, it doesn't make difference. All the pain that you have in the past will be washed away by the blood of Jesus. He's going to make you to be a new person in Christ Jesus, and all things are passed away. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray for. Amen.